Welcome back, everyone, to the 63rd episode of Through the Aftermath. We are back, and I am your host, Sean, and with me, as always, is Jonathan. How you doing, Jonathan?
Doing good, and I believe that we just crossed the threshold of, like, how many years? Eight?
Yeah. Since 2009?
Since 2009. So it's like, it hit me the other day. I'm like, we have been doing this show longer than we were doing our other podcasts, which is funny because in many ways the other podcasts seem longer even though they were a shorter time period because, you know, we were in, you know how it was back then when you were first learning and it was crunch time. But it just dawned on me. I'm like, we've been doing podcasting for over 10 years.
That's crazy.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that. I did a podcast before Guildcast, but I was talking to Lady Sinea last, I think it was November. Mm-hmm. And we were talking. Actually, no, it was the year before. Wow, time flies. The year before, 2015 was 10 years since we started Guildcast. Oh,
wow,
man, that's crazy.
Wow, yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, it's funny how it doesn't feel like, in some ways it feels like time has gone by. But I mean, when somebody said says 8 years, it's like, well, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
Like, has it really been that long? And it has. I mean, yeah, we've taken, you know, those breaks in between, whatever, but it's still, I mean, you know, how many, we're over 60 episodes, and I'm like, that's not too bad considering we kind of, like, almost broke away for a bit, and then, mm-hmm. of course, all the good shows and post-apocalyptic stuff just saturates the market, and it's like, oh, now you do that, okay.
Well, that's the funny thing, is it's like, you know, we talk about this every episode, or, you know, it seems like every episode. But, you know, we're so, like, into everything post-apocalyptic, so we just kind of record, like, hey, there's a bunch of cool stuff going on, let's record. And it's not like, you know, oh, we got to record, oh, you know. It's like, hey, we have all this stuff going on, and it's still such a big part of our lives, so let's just sit down and record it for a second, you know, talking about it. So yeah, I mean, that's where we're at, and then it's fun. It's still fun.
It is, and you look at how much we have probably changed. Like, look at the things we do today. Because I'll tell you right now. So I'm at my company, my branch. I oversee the entire service department. I can guarantee you that I wouldn't have been able to do that. Oh, another thing too. So they're having at one of the local churches. They're having this big talent show. Well, this is the second year in a row they've asked me to kind of be the Johnny Carson, like the MC of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and it's funny because it dawns on me, like, way back when. When we first did podcasting, remember how how nervous we would get? Like, even when we had, like, Pete Hines, we would, like, almost be shaking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then now we can just up and sit down and just talk about anything, and it's all confident and on the fly. And, I mean, the Hiroshima episode, we were, like, having to re-record because we just didn't feel confident. And now I'm like, we could probably sit down and just do this in 2 seconds thanks to what we've done.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
We've, like, grown so much, and I'm like, I would never have been the service manager I haven't had the confidence level and I honestly believe my speaking ability comes from that. It hasn't slowed down my speech at all or made me less loud, but, you know, that's because of the children now, so, you know. But no, 8 years, man, wow.
Yeah.
No, it's been good, though. It's funny to see how much things have evolved. A lot of those games, movies have come and gone, and it, like, we're to a whole new level of technology now.
Yeah, and even, like, our last episode, you weren't there. Last time you and I recorded was about 6 months ago, last September.
That's right, because I was getting all my teeth ripped out of my head. Oh, that was brutal. Oh.
The metal jaw replacement surgery.
Dude, yeah. I wanted those so bad. I was like, please, can I have metal jaws like on James Bond? I just want to be able to just do that smile just once, or if you're at least make it gold so I can do, like, the Mike Tyson thing minus the ear biting and, you know, the dentist, you know, doesn't answer. Next thing I know, I'm waking up on a street corner, and I'm like, wait a minute, what? You know.
He's like, sir, your insurance doesn't cover that.
Yeah, he's like, and they're like, but his insurance? He's like, no, it doesn't cover it. And they're like, oh, I, loud and clear, gotcha.
He's like, I've already asked it.
He's like, no, it doesn't. No matter what he says, it doesn't. All right. No, it was a brutal thing. Yeah, and I was bummed because that was a cool episode.
Yeah, yeah. That was, but even that one, even our last one, 62, was in November. So it's still been a little while for us. But,
it has.
Yeah, what's funny, too, is that last one we did was with Steve C. from Nuclana, and that was November. And then in December, I went to his event. He had a big event in South Carolina, and I drove out there. It was only like 5 hours from me. and I took my Mercedes. And I say Mercedes, and you're picturing like this fancy car. No, it's the it's the Mercedes, which is I've probably talked about it on the show before, but it's a it's an old '83 turbo diesel Mercedes that I've totally just Mad Maxed out, and you know it's just. It's really
that incredible looking.
Yeah, it's just it's like my favorite thing ever. Anyway, I tore the seats out, so I made a bed inside of it. So I drove it to this this event, this Nuclana event in South Carolina, and just spent the night like in the car. Just literally, you know, when you tear the seats out on the side, you can I can just sprawl. I mean, I'm 6 foot one, and I could still sprawl straight across, you know, and
yeah.
comfortably. So that's what we did. Is you know, we did that, and it was like a we, you know, again, we talked about it last episode, but it's basically a Fallout-themed camping trip mixed with some airsoft, or not airsoft, Nerf guns.
Yeah.
And then mixed with, like, a LARP. And so that you can do, like, you can keep stats, like, you can keep your character stats. There's also a lot of props, like Fallout-type props. You
wow.
can find stashes of caps, and you can turn them in for prizes and stuff like that. And then people run around with Nerf guns and shoot each other, and there's like ghouls, and then there's some people play like the super mutants, and so it's kind of cool like in that way, you know, where you have
yeah.
that stuff. But it was also like a camping trip, you know, where you just get together, and this place that we went to is called Eastwind Castle in South Carolina, and it's made for like a fantasy, you know, fantasy LARPs, basically, where they built all these really, really amazing buildings throughout these woods. And then there's a center place where they have, like, a town center, and there's, like, a campfire area. And all that. So we took this over as, you know, as a Fallout-themed thing. So that was a lot of fun.
Wow.
It was just amazing. I don't know how else to describe it. You know, I was one of the only cars there. There was me and one other guy that I came with who brought a like a Volkswagen Beetle,
yeah,
an old one, and that he calls it the Doomsday Beetle, I think, and it's all, you know, it's kind of got the big tires on it and everything, and he's got the black paint, he's got a big gun on top. It's really cool. So yeah. we actually drove there together. He's from Nashville, and we just kind of, you know, everybody was in costume, everybody had their post-apocalyptic gear on and everything like that. And it was just a lot of fun. And it's one of those things where Steve is actually doing it a lot more this year.
Yeah.
He's trying to do one, like, every 2 months or so, where it's not only... Like, there are two different types of things. There's the full-on LARP, mm-hmm. where you have a character, you have a background, you know, it's very specific, and you know, you have to keep track of everything. And then there's the just kind of hanging out camping trips where you go in costume and you just kind of hang out and do your thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I kind of prefer. I don't know a lot about LARPing, but I know a lot about Fallout, so it kind of works for me. But I just like the other part. And it, like, we had this bartering, there was this main kind of a hall, I guess, in the I mean, it's not huge, but it's maybe like 800 square feet, and you go in there and has these tables set up, and you can put out your stuff for people to trade with you.
Yeah.
So I had all these bones and these feathers and stuff, and I brought them there and I put them out on the table, and the people would say, hey, I'll trade you this for that. And that was a lot of fun. It was like, it was pretty authentic, you know. I really enjoyed myself.
I'll be darned. You know, that, and that's the cool thing now, is like, we live in a time now where, like, information, you know, on the internet is easier to get a hold of. Like, you know, materials have become less expensive. We have, like, we can use like foam and makeup effects that up until now had really only been expensive and only available to you know, makeup houses and stuff, like FX houses. And now we can get on the internet and make the same stuff if we have the time.
Oh yeah, I started getting
amazing.
I started getting into casting, like resin casting, and that's not that expensive. I mean, you know, you watch a YouTube video, figure out how to do it, and it's amazing. Like, I got some that I was making skulls with. I was making these coyote skulls.
Yeah.
And then I had some left over, so my kids, like, I'll get one of their toys and, like, make a cast of one of their toys, you know, and they're like, I have two of them now. Like, they're just amazed. It's just,
that's,
you know,
awesome.
Yeah, it's just fun little stuff, but
I'll be darned.
Yeah. Well, so what about you? Awesome.
Oh, heavens. Yeah, so, oh, man, it's funny. Well, one of the things I, you know, first up is, like, that's cool is, you know, my son is now 11, so he's at that age where he's now able to play a lot of the stuff that he used to sit and watch me play. And so, you know, minus a couple things here and there, like, you know, I haven't had, he wants more than anything to play Fallout, and the only reason why I haven't is like, yeah, it's a little over the top on violence at the moment, brother. But I said, you know, that said, you know, I'll let you play New Vegas, you know, soon. But, you know, I let him play Skyrim because you can mod the blood out and it's not too bad. But yeah, he's got his, this last Christmas, I'll have to post some pictures of this, but last Christmas he had like the craziest Fallout swag Christmas anybody ever had. Like he had the Vault-Tec blanket, the posters, he's got the hat. I got the hoodie though, Vault 111 hoodie. So yeah, that was my thing. But he had like, he even had like the little cups with the little reusable ice cube type stuff. And so everything was like Fallout stuff. Like that's all he even had the watch, the clock. And I was like, oh my gosh, man. Like the one thing that's so cool about it is now, you know, Fallout 4 made enough money that it, you know, remember how swag before you had to special order online. It was hard to get.
Oh, yeah.
Now you go to Target and find like friggin' 400 different versions of socks and bobbleheads. Yeah. And it's like, man, it's so great to have there be like readily available swag now.
Yeah.
But and then one of the things that popped up that I'm excited about that I'm about to do is we ended up, long story short, you know, my you know, God bless, my father-in-law passed away. Well, in the process of coming back, my mother-in-law had gotten for her house down here a PS4, so she kind of let us take it for the time being. And so I hooked up with The Last of Us Remastered. And have you played The Last of Us?
No, huh?
You hadn't played that, huh? Okay,
no.
First chance you absolutely get, and I would recommend it on the PS4 because I played a good chunk of it on the PS3, and it was good because, and you know what I'm talking about, like the guys who did, you know, Uncharted and all those games. Like, it is probably one of the most incredible storylines I've ever seen in a game, but Remastered, it is absolutely stunning. And I thought, you know, usually when I hear Remastered, a couple of better textures and some better lighting. No, this game is like sharp as all get out now. And so I got to start playing this all the way through with the Remastered Edition, and I kid you not, like the first chance you get, you absolutely have to play that game.
Oh.
Because it is like, I don't even know how to describe it till you play it. Yeah, it's incredible. You'll have to watch some gameplay videos or something, because like I've never had a game that it probably has the most insanely amazing like intro sequence ever, but if a game can make you cry, you know it's good. And the game's cinematics were all done in with real motion capture using the real actors.
Wow.
And so like the guy who played you played Bioshock Infinite, Booker DeWitt's voice, the main character, he does the voice of the main character in this one. And you actually, if you watch the behind the scenes, you'll see him wearing the motion capture outfits, and you know they're actually doing the real time voice and faces of their characters. What they're able to do is portray a level of cinematics that you just can't create any other way.
Yeah.
And it really pays off because the scenes, emotional scenes, you almost forget, like, it's a freaking game. You almost forget that you're playing a game.
Wow.
But yeah, first chance you get, man, I'm not kidding. But yeah, and then we got, geez, like, that right now I'm geeked out because of, you know, I got the HTC Vive, which I adore. But there's this game that came out for it. If you get a chance to peek at it, there's a game called Arizona Sunshine. I love the name. But yeah, it's essentially a zombie shooter where it's free roaming, where you're actually walking up to, like, say, cars that are all piled up on the highway, and you actually you can open up the door, punch the window out, and use the door as a shield from the zombies attacking you. And wow. you do not know, like, anxiety until you see something coming at you in real time 3D in VR, because I'm not kidding. Like, I must have slammed my head against the wall behind me like four times, like, oh dude, I bought it, you know what I mean? And it's have you had a chance to try the Vive yet?
No, not at all.
Okay, I will tell you right now, there are two classes of people. There are those who are absolutely blown away by it, and everybody else that hasn't actually had a chance to try. And and people are like, well, I've used the DK2, the Oculus. No. I'm talking about the Vive where it's room tracking, where you're walking around in it, not sitting down pretending to walk. Like, you're literally physically moving your hands and stuff. Like, it is insane.
Wow.
But then Fallout before VR this year.
We'll see. That's going to be crazy.
I need to start recording. You know what I've been thinking? I need to start recording some of these games I'm playing, because there's like, I've been playing a lot of these post-apocalyptic games. Like, have you heard of that game called Kenshi?
No.
Okay, there's a game on Steam. They called Kenshi. It's like a sandbox post-apocalyptic game. But I'm having so much fun with some of these games like that. Like that, there's RimWorld, which is sort of half post-apocalyptic, half sci-fi Firefly. But I ought to be playing these because I put like a lot of time and have like, you know, be one of those where it's like, God, I got to show people why I play these, you know?
Yeah.
So I might as well just start like, not necessarily streaming them, but putting together like little videos of, hey, here's why I recommend you play it, and kind of give a little here and there about, you know, what's good about it.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, kind of something to keep it, especially the VR stuff. Like the VR stuff is just unbelievable.
It is scary to think about where it could go.
Yeah, it's true. And that's, and you know, even though there are those that would say, you know, really, does this apply to post-apocalyptic other than, you know, Fallout 4 VR and a lot of the games? And I say, you know what? Why not? Because if it's just another medium for entertainment, and it, all of a sudden you're going from a 2D screen to 3D, I mean, I've already seen what's capable. They've had an episode of Mr. Robot where you could watch it, the whole episode in 360. Like, you look around you and you could watch things happening around you at any given moment in the episode. And there was a sense of immersion to it that was almost unnerving. And I'm thinking, you know, what's next? What happens if it's like a Mad Max game, or, you know, the next 28 days later? What if they were able to put you into the movie and put you in that person's shoes? So not only are you seeing main characters, but they're talking to you. Almost like a first-person game kind of thing. And I'm like, you know, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Ready Player One will probably, when that movie comes out in a year, that'll be the other one that I think sells people, just because I think that's the book that really just made everybody go, wait, we never thought about trying that stuff with it. Because did you ever get a chance to read that book?
No. Uh-uh.
That absolutely should be the next book you read, no matter what happens. Yeah, I tell people that is like, I dare say, the Bible of, you know, VR, but, you know, people are like, the what? I'm like, all right, the index of the Bible. Maybe. the cliff notes, I don't know. But, yeah, incredible time to be alive for technology, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Anyway.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, it's been good. I either that or it's been a long month with funerals I've been in. I just am like, maybe this is my outlet. Maybe I'm like, yeah, woo.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
That's right. Yeah.
That's how we all got into this, is outlets.
That's true. That's true. Whether we stuck our finger in one or just use one.
I was going to say that. Just don't put your finger in the outlet.
Just don't put your finger in one, yeah.
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to talk about, too, was yesterday, March 1st, Wasteland Weekend tickets went on sale. And I bought mine right away because I have been meaning to go to that forever. And this will be my first year. I actually bought a ticket 2 years ago, I think it was. I think it was for either 2014 or 2015. I bought a ticket. I bought plane tickets. I got my rental car. I got everything set up. And then something came up like a month before.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't do it. And I was so devastated. Because I got my money back on just about everything except for, I think it was the plane ticket. There was like a $200 charge or whatever. But it was like, you know, it really sucked, but I was really looking forward to it. Well, this year will actually be better, I think, because I'm going with some friends. Like, I would have just been going by myself, but this year I'm going with some friends, and we're doing this thing called the Great 40 Migration, which is basically the East Coast people going down I-40 straight through the middle of the country all the way to California.
No kidding.
And yeah, and they did it last year for the first time, and it was a couple friends of mine from Nashville started it, and they just get together and they just go and they meet people in certain spots, like Oklahoma City. There's an overnight meetup there where you don't have to stay with each other like a convoy, but you can if you want, but you know, it's basically, you know, if you have to go to the bathroom, like, not everybody has to pull off and wait for you or anything, you know. So everybody goes, and then they have these meeting points, and the first one is Oklahoma City. I think the second one is Flagstaff, and then the third one, of course, is California City, California.
Yeah,
right there in the desert. And so this year I'm going to do it, and I'm really excited. I just don't know which car I'm going to bring yet, because I keep building new post-apocalyptic cars. And the one I mentioned, the Mercedes, the Mercedes,
yeah,
is probably the one I'll bring I don't know if I'll drive it though, or if I'll tow it with my truck, which would probably be a little. I mean, that's about 3,000 miles for me.
Yeah.
And you know, in a 1983 car, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Although one of my friend who did it, who started it, he went in a 1979 Chevy truck.
Ooh.
And so, and he made it. He made it there and back, yeah, which is yeah. incredible. But then, as soon as he got back, the engine broke. So, might have had something to do with it. Was that trip? But so anyway, this thing is called the Great 40 Migration, and I think last year they had about 5 people go, and this year it's already the interest is already into the hundreds. Probably not going to be hundreds of cars all at once going. You know, people are going to meet up here and there. But I think what I think is cool about it is people. Who ordinarily would be taking another route will actually go down to I-40 to meet up just to be in this, you know, in this little cannonball run
yeah.
type thing, you know. So I'm excited about that. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
No
a friend of mine is actually talking about renting an RV and just towing my car. And then we just all ride in the RV there. I think that would be great. 'Cause it's, you know, it's a couple days. So, you know,
wow.
staying in the RV would be a lot of fun. So, but the thing is, you know, every year, I mean, I'm an adult. I have responsibilities. I have kids and a business I'm trying to run and
yeah.
all these things. So the last couple of years it's been, you know, oh, yeah, I'd love to go, but I would have to take 10 days off. And, like, I, you know, cause it's just a weekend. Well, now, actually, this year they've expanded it to 5 days. But it was always 4 days.
Yeah.
And they call it Wasteland Weekend. But now it's getting to the point where it's Wasteland Week. But to get there, you know, from this far out, 3,000 miles away, it takes, you know, two, three days each way. So it's kind of like Wasteland 2 weeks or Wasteland
yeah.
10 days. So it's always been, that's always been a problem for me, you know, getting all that time off and everything. But this year, my wife and I talked about it and, you know, usually I go to Dragon Con, I go to Conuga, I do a couple other things. Well, this year I said, look, I won't go to any of those. You know, I'm not going to Dragon Con this year. I'm not doing any of these. If I can just save it all and go to Wasteland Weekend. She's like, yeah, let's do it. Well, she's not going to go, but she said, you know, she'll stay home and
yeah.
watch the kids. And she'll take, she's actually going to be taking her vacation to stay home.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
take care of the farm and watch the kids and everything, you know, what I normally do. So, so I'm excited. I mean, things are kind of falling into place, and this is it. I'm actually going to go. And I emailed Jonathan, and so you have to officially tell me if this is a possibility or not. And I want you to go.
Yeah, you know, that would be so much fun too.
Well, I mean, how far are you from? Do you know where California City is? It's right there. I think. Is that the Mojave Desert?
Yeah, because so let me pull this up as we're talking here. So California City, because you said you guys are coming down.
Yeah, we'd be going. Well, we're basically, I think 40 goes to Barstow.
Yeah, if it goes through Barstow, I know exactly where you guys come through, because that's the way we go. We when we come through, we go through Barstow to go to like Disney and everything.
Oh
and,
yeah.
Except
yeah.
we're coming through. That's right. Okay, yeah. Okay, so 15 ends up on 40. Yeah, 40 connects with 15. That's what it is.
Cool.
And so, yeah, so California City. So when you guys go through, do you go to where, let's see, you're taking 40. Do you guys end up going in further in or California
well,
City?
Well, here's the thing, too. It branches off before, you know, 40 doesn't go straight in.
Right.
But here's the thing, too. This year, they're actually changing the location.
Oh.
They say that it's near California City, near the old location, but they haven't announced where yet, which is crazy.
Okay.
Tickets are on sale, and we don't know exactly where it's at.
Yeah.
But people are saying, the organizers are saying it's still pretty close. You know, it's still Southern California, and so it's not going to be like, you know, Michigan or anything.
Yeah. And
although that would be great.
Oh, yeah, okay. But, yeah, I know where you guys are. You're by Edwards Air Force Base.
Yeah, exactly, right by there.
Yeah, okay. Because if you go up north of Barstow, okay. Yeah, this is going to sound ridiculous because I'm going to go through one episode where I don't mention the mod, and now I'm about to do it. I actually had to know that entire stretch of road because it ended up in it.
Oh, nice.
Because it's Barstow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's one section where I actually had to make the signs for it. Funny enough, I didn't put California City, but I put Edwards Air Force Base. I mentioned it, but Yeah, cool. I totally know where you guys are at, because it's where, in fact, where the mod starts is when you actually connect into the mod and end up in Barstow. You're actually just outside on Highway 40 at Newberry Springs, which is just before Barstow itself.
Oh.
But, that's over by, it's right where, what's the defense contractor, right where you're passing it. Anyways, as you're coming down 40, right before you get to Barstow, you'll see this gigantic complex of, like, military stuff, and it's Raytheon. That's who it is.
Oh, okay.
It's Raytheon, the guys who do all the military contracting stuff, which is another reason I chose that city for my mod. But, that goes right, that's about 3 hours away.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad at all, because it's 6 hours to Disney for me, because you come down through Vegas and take 15 through Barstow, and then go all the way to LA. But in this case, that's Barstow's halfway for me.
Oh, okay.
So that's not hard.
Yeah, I mean, now you got to do it. 3 hours. That's
yeah, and the dates. What were the dates on it again?
Let me see. I think it's the end of September.
That's right.
I know that. I think it even goes into October a little bit. September 27th through October 1st.
Let me see, because the one thing that does worry me, my brother, my only brother, is actually getting married in October, and we have to fly back to Detroit, of all places. I'm like, can't we just do this online? No, somebody take face, you know, like Skype. Up on FaceTime or Skype, and just walk me around, and I'll just talk to people, and hey, what's up, and we'll be cool, and it's not like we're really going to like each other anyway, so it's, you know, why get on a plane to have that kind of fun when I can just do that, you know?
Yeah.
Live in the now, people.
Yeah,
but let me find out, because it really does come down to, like, getting down there is not hard. It really comes down to probably just the dates. But I'll definitely check into it, because there's so much that happens nearby me that I haven't had a chance to really tap into, because up until now, like, I was really dealing, after, you know, I'd been sick so much, I was dealing a lot with medical bills, and that stuff was just, funny enough, like, medical bills are actually giving me the next heart attack. But you know, now I'm back to where I'm in the green again, so I can actually talk, you know, look at stuff like that again, which is nice.
Cool.
Yeah. I was just waiting for somebody to be like, it's because he bought the Vive. I'm like, no, that's called the tax return. No, that's not far at all. That would actually be kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's far enough away where, like you said, maybe we could plan it. But, I mean, wouldn't that be cool? Like, you and I, we could record something there. We could even do, like, video, or, you know, we could do something like that. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll have to look at doing that. Because, yeah, it would be, let me see here. Because from Barstow to California City, come on, Google Maps, tell me. What's up? Okay, so that's 5 miles. I swear to God, right now I'm doing the little thing where you're like, you pinch with your fingers and you're trying to approximate, and I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4. It looks like it's only maybe 40, 50 miles outside of Barstow.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I know it's pretty close. I think that's where they say that Barstow's where they kind of get the last minute provisions. They buy water and stuff like that before they head in. Yeah.
It's funny, when I was looking at this map, just above the top, I swear, for there's this city called Atolia, and for a second I said it like I for a second I thought it said Itola, and I'm like, of rock and rolla. Oh, dude, freaking, oh yay, Lord Humongous, he lives there, you know, like, my brain wanted it to be real, and then I was sad that it was all my bad reading. Oh, but no, that would be fun. I will definitely look into this, because, like you said, what's it been, like, freaking 10 years we've known each other? We've never actually crossed paths.
I know. That's incredible. That's why I wanted to put you on the spot here while we're recording.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you'll be there, right, John? Yeah, I'll be. Hey, wait a minute.
It's recorded.
It's too late.
That would be cool. I know that, you know, you're a family guy, too, and you got a lot of stuff going on.
Oh,
But, you know, it'd be cool.
Is there an age limit to that type of stuff, like there is with the Wasteland Weekend?
No.
Because I know with Wasteland Weekend, you couldn't bring anybody under the age of, what was it, 18 or whatever? My kid just eats the stuff up.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant an age limit like 70 or something.
Like, oh, yeah. Like grandma can't go, she's 95. No, I got you here. No, I was wondering if it was like, had there was an age link there, like there is with Wasteland Weekend in general, or
yeah, there is. Okay. I think it is 18. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it is.
When you're out, when you're like raiders, are like, you can't bring your son. Like Lord Humongous is like, please, you just walk away.
Yeah, what about the feral kid? I mean,
yeah, that's right. I could just dress him up like the feral kid and tell everybody he's 18. Like, they won't know he's feral.
Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah, we'll try to see what we can do. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm excited though. My big thing that I want to see. I mean, we've had like Jim Tank Dorsey on the show before, where he's the guy who plays Lord Humongous.
Yeah.
At Wasteland Weekend, and he's been on the show, and we've talked a lot about Wasteland Weekend, but it's one of those things that, you know, I've just always wanted to do. And like the cars, like I'm huge into cars. Cars is like all I think about. Like my son, my 4-year-old son, you know, all he does, it's hereditary.
Oh, yeah.
Just all he does is talk about cars. And so we talk about cars together and engines and, you know, tires. And I just taught him what a carburetor was the other day. I'm so proud. So anyway, I'm excited to see the cars there. They have a parade that goes through, and they just have all these, you know, cars revving their engines and just, you know, billowing smoke. And
oh yeah,
it's going to be really cool. I'm really excited for that. I'm excited for the trek out there. You know, with that great 40 migration. I mean, that last year the guys said that was just an incredible kind of bonding experience with, you know, a bunch of people that you're just kind of meeting along the way. And we've actually even joked about doing like a kidnapping thing where we're all dressing up like raiders, and instead of people like waiting on the exit for us to you know, to just join us, we'll have them like, you know, like in the gas station, like getting a candy bar, and we'll just all run in and grab them and take off, you know. And I don't know, but yeah, I mean, the cars, the costumes, there's music. I mean, it's such a huge thing now. I mean, they started out with a couple guys, and now it's in the thousands. I mean, they're just thousands of people getting together. It's almost to the point of Burning Man. It's just the only reason it's not as big as Burning Man, I think, is because it's not as general as Burning Man. Like, Burning Man is like an art thing where just people just come to just hang out. And this is more specific. Like, you have to have a certain type of... Like, they actually... They'll turn you away at the door if you don't have a good costume, like a good enough costume. Like, if you go there in, like, bright green, you know, a raincoat or something, and you're like, hey guys, I'm a post-apocalyptic like fisherman or something.
I'm the postman.
They'll be like, yeah, they'll be like, get out of here. You know, they literally won't let people, even photographers who go there to film and to take pictures, they have to be in costume too. It's a full immersion event, and they have, everything is full immersion. Once you get in the gates of Wasteland Weekend, everything is immersion. I mean, you don't have to be like in character or anything, but you have to just look the part. You know, and they say that you have to look like you're in a Mad Max movie.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm really excited about that. It's going to be really cool.
Too bad my kid couldn't be on my shoulders and tell me, like 2 seconds, breakneck. Oh, okay. Yeah, like, oh, yeah, we're Master Blaster. It's that he's with me.
Yeah.
I'm just the muscle. He's the brain.
Yeah.
I'll be doggone. That sounds like like a big riot, though. That would be so much fun.
Yeah.
I'll definitely look into that. Yeah, I'm writing this all down. I sounded like George McFly. Like, this is good stuff. I'm writing this down. Oh, no, that'll be good. There's so much that happens right nearby me, and I've always been aware of it, and have just been bummed because I have never really had a chance to like partake.
I have the opposite problem. Nothing happens near me.
You're like, I want to go, but I don't have it here.
Yeah, but it'll take 3 days to get there.
Well, the advantage you have is that if the world ever ends, that not a lot will be happening there. And then we'll hopefully come out there instead.
Yeah.
Like, there's too much happening here. It's Wasteland Weekend and Burning Man next. It's Burning Man in my front yard right now.
I remember when I was growing up, I was obsessed. I saw this map of nuclear targets, like Russian nuclear targets. And I don't know if it was real. It was just one of those things where it was like proposed, I guess. And one of them was Gary, Indiana. And I grew up in Hammond, Indiana, right next to Gary. So
yeah.
I was always like, wow, if there's a nuclear war, the Russians are going to bomb right here. Like, you know, I'm going to be gone.
Yeah.
I was always obsessed with that when I was younger.
Oh yeah, well, growing up in Detroit, we knew we were going to be public enemy number one because we were building all the tanks.
Oh yeah,
yeah. The Motor City, you knock out Detroit, and it's like bye bye, you know.
Yeah.
But then they're like, we're going to take out their hockey, and I'm like, oh no, you go, just walk away.
just skate away.
Yeah, it's like, you're not going to hurt us much. That's the bummer. Yeah, we'll try.
So, anything else new with you?
No, not much else other than that. Just, it's just, like there, like you said, there's been so many things and so many movies, and, you know, one of the shows, one of the ones I was telling Sean to check out, I don't know if anybody, listeners out there, have watched the show. I just watched the show Wayward Pines. And boy, oh boy, before somebody goes, now, what are you talking about on this show? I'm like, just do yourself a favor. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. Because it looks like the show Twin Peaks, where you've got, you know, Matt Dillon playing an FBI agent looking for it, going to a small town. He gets in his car accident, wakes up in this small town, and he's trying to find, you know, his a partner that of his that got lost earlier. And holy crap on the twist. Like, if this puts into perspective, the guys who helped do this show are the Duffer brothers who do Stranger Things. So that should bring it right into perspective that these guys think outside the box. So, but it's based on a set of books, but oh my gosh, talk about, like, holy crap twists. And like I said, I'm not, that's all I'm going to say. If somebody's like, why are you talking about it on this show? Just go watch it. Trust me. I've never seen anything quite like it. And even though I haven't watched season two yet, but, you know, it's one of those shows where you find out the secret of what's going on pretty early, like about the fourth or fifth episode. And from there, it's a matter of now what? And it just blew my mind. And we'll have to talk about it on a future episode.
Yeah. Sure. You said it's on Hulu?
Yeah, it's on Hulu at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable. Like, every time I thought that I had seen everything, I hadn't. And it's got a lot of people in it. It's got people who I haven't seen for a while. Like, Did you watch Sherlock?
No.
Oh yeah. What?
I know.
Out there, like, half of the country went, No, there's a guy who was. Did you ever see the second Captain America, Winter Soldier?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a guy, like, kind of a shorter guy with glasses, British guy, who's in it. Where when they find the computer system that Hydra had hidden in the bunker, he's the face that they show. But this guy's been in a bunch of shows, like he's on a show called The Detectorists on Netflix, which is a wonderful show. But he's in it, and then, like, there's a bunch, you'll recognize a bunch of other characters from different shows. But yeah, that show, just, like, holy cow, talk about a twist that's like the biggest slap in the face twist you'll ever see.
Man, now I have to see it.
It's worth I'm not joking, it's worth subscribing to Hulu just for that show. Just because that show just took me completely off guard. I was like, how did I miss this show?
Plus, I think Hulu does a free month now.
They do.
There you go.
Yeah, and it's easy. You'll blow through the seasons. I mean, I have a hard time. I'll be honest. I have a hard time kind of sitting down and watching a show every week. And I usually have to do a marathon to really force my way through it. But that show, I couldn't get enough. I was like, holy crap, what happens next? Like, it was the kind where it's right up our alley. I'll say that.
Cool. It's good to know.
Yeah.
I haven't really been watching too much, or at least that I can remember. That's what the funny thing about recording every 6 months is, it's like, you know, during the 6 months, I'm like, oh, I got to write that down, but I never do. So.
Yeah, the other one we were talking about was that I just watched is, there's a movie that you got to check out called The Girl with All the Gifts. And it's it's the one with the post-apocalyptic, it's like zombie. I was telling Sean, it's like Ender's Game meets World War Z, except that the children that they're teaching are infected zombie kids, but they haven't, they're still, their humanity's still in there. But it's like, you've got to watch it. Like, there's this girl who's the secret to them being able to fight back against these zombies, because everybody lives in these bunkers, and it's intense. Like, it's got Gemma Atherton, and I think it was a British made movie, but incredible show. I guess that too is based on a book, which, well, I'm like, I read books, I try to read books a lot. How come I'm the one who always finds out later it's based on a book I haven't heard of? I'm all like, wait a minute, what? I like, this is what we do. How did we miss the book?
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess that everybody else in the world apparently has this list of books.
I'm the same way. Like, I always hear about books I need to read, and then I kind of put it in the back of my brain. Like, I just got Snow Crash.
And
I'm like, I saw it at the bookstore. I'm just, you know, I just look around. I'm like, oh, Snow Crash. I got to get this. Like, I've never read it. So.
Yeah, see, Audible has been my friend. Like, I'll get the book on tape if I can, because I don't mind reading a book, but there's something, if you get a good book that's read by someone who does a really good job, like Ready Player One. I listened to the book on tape. I almost said the tape.
tape.
Holy cow, man. My kids are like, what's tape? Like, you mean like
Scotch tape?
Like Scotch tape or, yeah. No, it's the, and it was read by Will Wheaton. Probably one of the coolest, like, somebody reading a book I've ever heard. But yeah, like, Audible, that's how I ended up, Snow Crash, I ended up watching that because, I said, watch that. I forgot it all backwards now. But yeah, it was because of Audible. And that was one of the books that kind of, that and Neuromancer kind of set the stage for the whole, you know, cyberpunk.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, Snow Crash took it to the next level, but. Yeah, that's a good one. You'll have fun with that.
Good. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's out there, but it's so much fun. But yeah, there's been a lot of stuff. Like, there's been like this, like, resurgence of like cyberpunk type stuff too. Like the Ghost in the Shell movie. I'm actually like, oh my god, that might actually be good.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks twisted as all get out, but let's be honest, what isn't in that story? But you know. I mean, it's now we can do effects very cheaply with post-apocalyptic type stuff or with, you know, cyberpunk type stuff that, you know, we've got Blade Runner coming out. That's sort of like almost looks post-apocalyptic because I was like, wait, why is half of L.A. appearing to be like a dust wasteland? I don't know if you saw the preview for that. But
Yeah,
I'm like, I wonder if that's got a twist to it. But anyway, yeah, a lot of good stuff out there.
Another book that I found when I got Snow Crash was actually in the same section. I've never heard of it before. It's called Wastelands. Mm-hmm. This episode is, how many times can we say the word wasteland?
I know.
Is that called short stories? Yeah, it's Stories of the Apocalypse. Have you read this?
Yes, I have.
Oh, man. It really even has a George R. R. Martin.
Yep.
Stephen King, Octavia Butler, Orson Scott Card. Wow, how have I not seen this before? I have to read this, though. I saw it, and I was like, oh, this is perfect. I love short stories, and I love Wasteland. So,
yeah, you'll like that one. That one's cool because it's got just a little bit of everything in it and some really cool stuff.
That's cool. I'm excited. Yeah, I got these two books, and I'm like, oh, I got it. But what's funny is I'm reading an e-book right now, and I can't just stop reading a book. Like, I have to finish it, even though it's not, you know, the greatest. I don't know. I forgot what it's even called. That's a bad thing about ebooks, is it's like, I don't want to scroll all the way back and find out. But, you know, if it's a regular book, you just look at the cover. You're like, oh, yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I got to finish that. And I actually have Dune. I'm going to read the original Dune at some point. That's a goal this year.
Yeah.
I've started it, and then I'm like, oh, wait, there's this other book I want to read. So then I'll, like, you know, I mean, by starting it, like, first page, you know, and then I'll be like, oh, wait, there's this other book I want to read. But I want to read these other two I got. That's my problem, is I get books with no idea or plan of how I'm actually going to sit down and read them.
See, that's why Audible is awesome, because I can listen to them while I'm driving or doing something else. Like, Dune is a perfect example. I've never been able to actually sit down and read that whole book, but because it's the classic that it is, the Audible version of it, that it's completely, you know, unabridged, is actually done up like a radio show. But it's still unabridged. And so the whole thing is in there, but there's these actors and actresses doing the characters, telling the story of the, or doing the voices. And so you've got the narrator and everything, but it's the entire book. It's not like dumbed down at all.
I got to try that.
Yeah, Audible is amazing.
That is a very hard read.
It is. It's kind of like those books that you, like, try to sit down and you read them. Like, you're like, this year I'm really going to read Lord of the Rings. And then you're like, okay, I barely made it out of the Shire, and I feel like I'm like, I don't know. I mean, you got to be in the mood, and, you know, they're long books. And for the most part, it's funny, my sister gets mad when I say this. I'm like, they're long books, and they're so detailed. They have moments where they get incredibly, I don't want to use the word boring, because there's so much detail, it's incredible. But at the same time, It flows so unusually from what we're used to nowadays that, you know, that's why the movies made people go back and read them. But, yeah, it's hard if, like, I think we just all have, like, ADD. We're going to find out that, like, ADD was, we were deliberately infected when they gave us polio vaccines or something. Like, the cigarette-smoking man gave us all ADD so we can't read anymore and we're all going to be stupid like the kids in Threads.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different topic because I feel passionately about that, about the whole like instant gratification generation, and it kind of drives me crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm guilty of it too, so
Yeah, we find ourselves doing it at times, which is sad. But I think that's just the thing. We got so many media abilities. That's why I like Audible, because I at least feel like, okay, I can't necessarily sit down and read because I have a tendency to drift a little bit. I try to. But when I'm driving and I'm listening to Audible or whatever, or when I'm doing something else, like a project, like in the garage, and I'm listening to it, like it's perfect. And then I feel like I'm still at least reading it. You know what I mean?
And you get that kind of sense of accomplishment still.
Yeah. I'm like, I might not have read it with my own eyes, but someone told it to me and read it with theirs. They did it by proxy.
All right. Well, one other thing I wanted to talk about was this event that I'm throwing at the end of this year, and it's actually going to be in November, so it's going to be like a month after Wasteland Weekend, a month and a half. It's called, get ready for it, Aftermath. And yes, it is inspired by this podcast. Well, the name, I've always kind of liked the name Aftermath, like not only through the Aftermath, but even just, I don't know, like just other things I've tried doing. Like I tried doing props at some point, and I called it Aftermath Props, and I just like the word, so I try to use it in as many. I try to use it in every sentence that I speak. No, I try to use it as much as I can in projects that I do. So I have this event called Aftermath, and it's the website is aftermathevent.com, and if you check it out, I've got all the information on there. I've got the date. It's November 10th through the 12th of this year, 2017. And it's going to be in Gadsden, Alabama, which anyone outside of 20 miles from Gadsden has no idea where that's at. But it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's by Birmingham, which I think a lot of people have heard of Birmingham. And it's not far from me, which is why I'm holding this there. But I have a friend who owns some property down there. He's got about 15 acres, and we're gonna have this on his land, and it's a pretty amazing setup. Like it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's woods, and then there's a big field, which is like a hay field for parking, and then there's this clump of woods where there's a hill, and the hill is about 2 acres. It's about a two, you know, it's a round hill, but it's 2 acres, and at the top it's flat. So you have this 2 acre hill surrounded by woods, and you drive up it. It's got a little path that goes up it. So you go up, and there it is, like this flat top up there, and you can do whatever you want. And we're gonna have bands there. We're gonna have live music. We're gonna have there's gonna be a car show, which is gonna be a big part of it, like a post-apocalyptic slash rat rod car show. So that's something that I'm going to advertise this summer at like local, AutoZones and stuff like that. Just because I know a lot of people are into rat rods, the really rusty old 30s and 40s cars that they kind of, cobble together. I love that stuff. But this is also going to be a mix of post-apocalyptic, which isn't as big. So it's not going to be, I mean, I have a couple cars, but I think I'm the only person in the area that's, that really concentrates on that type of car. So I'm hoping to get the word out, get a lot of people there, but the big part of it is it's going to be a 2-day thing where we're going to spend the night. We're going to camp out at this event. So it'll be an immersion event is what I'm titling it, immersion event, because it's similar to like what I was describing with Nuke-lana, and it's similar to Wasteland Weekend, where you go there in costume and you don't have to be in character, but you just kind of hang out with your buddies, and you're dressed like a raider, and you listen to live music. And the live music is even going to be themed live music. Like some of the bands that I have lined up, I haven't really announced them yet, but they're very they actually dress in kind of Mad Max gear.
Yeah.
And this is before I even told them to. Like this is their thing. So, and that's an example of how big, how continuously big the post-apocalyptic genre stays. If there are new bands coming out dressing up like they're from Mad Max, I think that's really awesome.
Yeah.
So we're going to have the live music, we're going to have the car show, we're going to have the immersion event, we're also going to have classes, so it'll be kind of like a convention where you go to panels. And the classes will be, this is something we did at that Nuclana event too, where like at Nuclana we taught, I taught a class, and I say class, it was like a half hour kind of demonstration. So it's like a demonstration on how to Mad Max a car, how to, you know, make a car look post-apocalyptic, like some advice on what to do with the metal and how to weld, well, not like a welding class, but, you know, like some basics on welding and some basics on painting and then, you know, scratching the paint off to make it look weathered and stuff like that. And so it's going to be stuff like that. There's also going to be some other classes that we haven't really got lined up yet, but that's a plan. And then there's also going to be food. There's going to be food there, like a vendor. The guy that owns the property actually also owns a pizza parlor, like right nearby in Gadsden.
Huh.
So he's going to cater. He's going to bring his food there, and he's going to set up like a. We're going to make this booth that's going to look, you know, like a demolished, you know, building, and that's where he's going to sell it out of. He says he's going to do like. Themed food.
Yeah.
Like he's going to try to get, because they don't only sell pizza, they do like wings and like chicken tenders. He says he's going to get chicken tenders and make them look like body parts, like on a stick, you know? And
yeah.
So it'd be kind of like a themed, you know, themed food, which I think would be really cool.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to do bartering. So it'll be something where if you have a bunch of old scrap metal or like, you know, car emblems or anything that you think would be cool for costumes or cars, bring it there. Trade with other people, you know, you can I'm going to be bringing my bones and feathers that I always bring and some car parts and stuff like that and just kind of trade with each other, and I think that'll be really cool. But that's the gist of it, you know. A lot of that hasn't been, well, the details haven't been really announced yet, but everything on the site at aftermathevent.com is where we're at right now. I mean, we're still, you know, months away from any definitive details, like especially ticket prices. I don't have that figured out yet.
Yeah.
So tickets aren't available yet, but the dates are there. That, you know, the venue is there, and I don't know. You know, this. We'll see how this goes this year. I might do this every year.
Yeah.
I'd like to at least do the car show. I think that doing a car show is a lot of fun. I've done them before. I've organized them before, but not one specifically for, you know, rusty cars. And that's kind of my big thing, is I don't want any shiny, you know, nobody's going to be, you know, polishing their chrome or anything at this one.
Right.
This is going to be rusty, beat up, you know, and that's a big thing now, too, actually. There's a website called rattymusclecars.com. Mm-hmm. He kind of spotlights these muscle cars that are just beat up, like dented and, you know, and people love it. Like, it's so popular. And, like, the show Roadkill, which is on Motor Trend, and that's a huge, huge show. It's all about these guys who basically, it's a YouTube show, but they basically they go on Craigslist, they find a car for $1,000, and they buy it, and then they drive it back to L.A. Or they'll fly out there, buy the car, and then drive it back to L.A. And along the way, you know, the car will be falling apart, and they'll have to replace stuff. I mean, it's a great show. So that kind of stuff is really getting big. Like, people are kind of tired of, you know, shiny paint and not getting scratches and not touching the paint. And, you know, people want real cars that, you know, you don't have to worry about that stuff. Dents, who cares? You know, rust, who cares? So I really like that stuff. So that's what this is going to be. That car show part, at least, is going to be focused on. And I'd like to do more of that throughout the year. Now, like I was saying, I don't know if I'll do another. We'll see how this goes. In as far as doing another Aftermath event, an immersion event next year, but we'll play it by ear. You know, we'll see how this one goes. But if we do, what I was going to say is, if we do, I'd like to maybe have it at a different place. I was calling around. I was trying to find a place that's like an abandoned, you know, village or something, or like a little something secluded but still abandoned. It would look really cool for like a wasteland thing. It is so difficult to get people.
Yeah.
Like, there's actually a place not too far from here in Alabama, but near Montgomery, Alabama, and it's a movie set from the movie, what was it called? Big Fish or Real Big Fish or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that had the city of Spectre.
Yeah, yeah, Spectre.
Like that's a little village, yeah.
Exactly. Spectre Island is what it's called. Now, Spectre is still there, and it's all like abandoned, and it's rotting away. It's falling apart. So I saw this, and I said, oh, this would be perfect. They actually have tours of it. Like, they'll let you go there, and they'll let you kind of tour it. So I'm like, this is perfect. So I contacted them, and they're like, yeah, we can't close for a private party because of our insurance. And I'm like, oh, crap. Like, that's a good point. Like, trying to find a place that can have the insurance to insure a private party overnight or over, you know, a couple of days, it's really difficult to find. So I'm still looking. If anybody out there knows of a place in the southeast, you know, that would be ideal, let me know.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone listening to this is invited. Everyone's invited to the
and
aftermath.
It's even called Aftermath. That's awesome.
Yeah. And
How are you going to get through it? Somebody out there had to have been thinking that.
You'll be driving. You'll be like,
I'm
driving
through the aftermath. I don't know how it's going to happen. I was like,
and then when you get past it, you'll be beyond the aftermath.
Oh yeah, that's true.
but everybody's invited. I haven't done too much, trying to get the word out there yet. I've put a few. There's a Facebook page for it, which you can just look up Aftermath Event, and then. You know, I've put a few things out here, but I'm probably going to get like Facebook ads at some point, and I'm going to advertise a lot more. Try to get. We'd like to get a couple hundred people. I mean, the spot is about two acres, so it's not huge.
Yeah.
You know, it can't hold Wasteland Weekend numbers, but it would be cool to have maybe 150, 200 people. We'll see how that goes. But
that'd be awesome. Yeah, we'll have to. Keep us in the loop. I mean, and depending on when it is, I mean, we could even talk about it in the next episode between now and then.
Yeah, I mean, that's November is, well, still, we might do one more episode before that.
Yeah, you know, well, and especially
at our rate.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, hopefully we'll be talking between now and then. It's funny too, because this time around, it's for the listeners out there, part of what was funny about this time is in the past, stuff going on, things happening. This time it literally came down to we always are thinking about it, but time just flew.
Yeah.
And before you know it, it's been that long, and we talk about like we should go, and then one day you're like, wait a minute, what? Whoa, wait, this time is going too fast. And then next thing you know, you're trying to like go back and record a show because now it's getting too long, Until we've done it. So, but yeah, maybe this is a good reason to, try to do one between now and then just to kind of keep people in the loop.
Yeah, once I figure out, ticket prices and once we can announce the bands and, the classes and stuff like that. Yeah, once I get more details, we should definitely record something, I think.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, definitely.
And, the thing is, too, I don't, I call it Aftermath, and it's not like an official, through the Aftermath thing. I mean, but on there, on the website, I do say at some point, let me see if I can find it real quick, about how we've had a podcast going. Here it is. I say, if reading isn't your thing, you can also check out the Through the Aftermath podcast that has been transmitting in the Wasteland since 2009. So that's kind of like, the podcast has been building up to this event for...
Yeah, it's like we've been planning this whole time.
It
was like Schindler's List. Like we bought the rights early, but just weren't ready to make it yet.
Yeah.
No, that sounds exciting. Actually, that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really a lot in this area for stuff like that. I mean, there's stuff in Atlanta, which is not far from where this will be. It's like an hour away. Atlanta is, the hub of the Southeast, of course. But, Dragon Con, which is huge, and there are a couple other little conventions. But there's nothing specific, like a specific immersion event for this part of the country, like Wasteland Weekend. So that's what I'm just trying to do. I'm just trying to get more people interested. Well, one, interested. Two, aware. I know that there are people out there who maybe have seen Fury Road, or they grew up watching the Mad Max movies, and they're just like... oh, I love that stuff. and then you tell them that there's going to be an event where they can go there and they can see cars and they can see costumes and they can see bands, and they'll be like, oh, well, I got to go check that out, you know?
Yeah.
So we're trying to make the scene grow, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know,
we're trying
to make this wasteland / Mad Max immersion thing grow. So
yeah, it sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so I guess that's it for us. If you want to send us an email, ttaftermath@gmail.com. Check out the main page at throughtheaftermath.com, and then we have the Facebook page, which is just Through the Aftermath. You can do a search for that. And we've been on there in a while, but yeah, that's usually where the conversations go, right there. So from all of us here at Through the Aftermath, I'm Sean.
And I'm Jonathan, saying, stay alive out there. Alive in here. That's what you said.
See, that's why if I just be quiet, I know you'll throw those things in there. And
I know. It's like one of these days we're gonna have this like collage of all these like things I've muttered to myself, and it'll be like an hour long.
Just those last few words.
Just those last few words. Oh, every time, and then I'll be like, I didn't really say that. Oh no.